Luke chapter number 5, verses 12 through 15 this evening. We'll read responsively. I'll begin in verse number 12. You'll join me on verse number 13 all the way through verse number 15. Luke chapter number 5. Luke chapter 5, verse number 12. The Bible says, "And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face, and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show himself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing, according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But as much more went there of fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed of him of their infirmities." And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for today. Lord, we thank you as already, Lord, your Holy Spirit's presence has been with us this morning with souls saved, Lord, through the preaching of your word. Now tonight, Lord, please, as we hear your word preached to us, Lord, may our ears be open. Lord, may our hearts be tender, Lord, as we hear the truth. Lord, may we not just listen, Lord, to out of repetition, but Lord, may we listen, Lord, with the intent of not just learning something, but doing, Lord, what is taught this evening. Lord, this country needs a church like this, Lord. This city needs Christians that are in this room, Lord, to leave from here and to do more for you. May after this evening, Lord, we be closer to you and motivated, Lord, to do more for you. We ask all these things in your name. Amen. You may be seated.
Amen. Here in Luke chapter 5, Jesus is preached to a huge crowd of people. The crowd was so big that he actually borrowed a boat, and they rowed the boat back away from the shore a little ways. And he was preaching to a crowd on the shore. You say, "Preacher, why would he do that?" I've preached a lot and spoken a lot in a lot of different areas. If you're speaking to a big crowd of people outside, Jesus could preach across the water and his voice would bounce off the water and hit a wider array of distance without as much effort. The water becomes an actual sounding board that would bounce his voice back. It could be heard clearer and louder by more people. So that's why he would move back away from the shore. He would preach, and as his voice would hit the water, it would bounce back up, and the crowd could hear what he said. Well, he borrowed a boat, and the Bible talks about a man named James and John and Peter. There's a couple boats there that went back, and he preaches to them. People get saved, lives get changed. And he said, "Fellas, since we're out here," he said, "drop your nets and let's see if you can catch some fish." Well, they were fishermen by trade. That's their bread and butter. The Bible says that there was such a big haul of fish that they could barely get the nets back into the land. These men were marveling at Jesus. Here's a man who preached and yet told them where to drop their nets, and their nets were full. I wished he was on our boat yesterday. sorry, I had to say that. These men were so impressed by Jesus. Listen to this. They quit the fishing business to follow him. Imagine quitting your career to go follow a man of God. I mean, in that moment, just quitting your business. Sometime after this, these three men come into the city with Jesus. There's a man in this city, the Bible says in verse number 12 and verse number 13, that there was a man who was full of leprosy. That's an interesting statement. That means he was in the advanced stages of leprosy. Leprosy usually started either on your nose or on the end of your fingertips, usually at an extremity. Leprosy is a very contagious, nasty disease. It's a disease that literally begins to eat your flesh away and eat your body parts away. And as it works its way up, it just turns like gangrene and it rots your flesh and your bones right off. People would walk around with no nose and their lips would fall off and their ears would fall off, their fingers would fall off. And these are open running sores. And not just that they fell off, but they were literally just rotting off. You've not smelled anything till you've been around rotting flesh. Rotting human flesh is worse than any garbage flesh you've ever smelled. I promise you. This fellow was a stinking mess. Listen to this. This man with leprosy sees Jesus. He's heard of him. The Bible says he came and fell on his face before him. And he said, couldn't you do something to help me? I want you to notice something. Hebrew law said that Jesus was to keep himself 10 feet away. You heard the statement, I wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole. It comes from people that had leprosy in the stores. If somebody came into a store that had leprosy, a store owner would have a stick behind the counter, and it was 10 foot long, and he would use it to push the person with leprosy out the door. That's where that statement comes from. By Hebrew law, if you got any closer than 10 feet, you had to, by custom, go through several cleansings, being checked by doctors and the priest to make sure over a period of time and weeks that you didn't have the disease of leprosy. You see, if you came into close contact, if you sat in the same chair where somebody with leprosy had, you had to quarantine and do different things. It was a time of 30 days. And we're not going to go back into the book of Exodus and Deuteronomy and Leviticus and all these Old Testament books and show you, but you can look it up. Sound familiar? Does it sound familiar? I want you to notice something, though. Here is this man that is full of leprosy. He's asking Jesus to heal him. And by Hebrew law, he has to stay 10 feet away. But I want you to look at verse number 13, Luke chapter 5. And he put forth his hand and touched him. Whoa. Jesus broke Hebrew law. He was supposed to be 10 feet away, never come in contact with somebody with leprosy. And yet we see the Son of God with a man dying of leprosy. The Bible says that he touched him. The Bible says that his leprosy was immediately taken away. But by Hebrew culture, Jesus was supposed to be quarantined for 30 days. He was breaking the law by touching him. I'm going to make some statements here that are not politically correct. Jesus did not practice social distancing. Jesus didn't wear a mask. He didn't have contactless appointments. The very Son of God touched someone who was sick. He knew what the law was, but this man needed healing more than some stupid rule to be followed. Amen. Our country is freaked out by a microscopic virus and has gone completely nuts over it. We have social distanced ourselves into a panic. Yep. Everybody doing okay? Hang on. Now we have people who don't trust anybody. Flaming liberals today go so low as to say, well, Jesus would have followed these guidelines if he were here today. how in the world did somebody that doesn't even know Christ as Savior tell us what Jesus would do? Amen. How about we read the Bible and see what he did?
Amen.
He didn't wear a mask.
Right.
He didn't social distance. He touched sick people. Now, hang on. I'm going somewhere. Jesus would not have followed the guidelines from the CDC or the WHO. He would not have done it. We see it in Scripture.
Right.
He would not live in fear of getting sick or making somebody else sick. He would have helped them.
Right.
He didn't come to quarantine. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And he came to heal people, not isolate people. Did you know that people died while Jesus was on earth? Did you know people got sick while Jesus was on earth? I guess it's been going on for quite a while. Let me show you some biblical principles that should help us understand the Bible on the issues of today. Number one, are you ready? Jesus did not let the rule of law keep him from helping people. Folks, it's going to be a cold day where the booger man lives before this preacher gives up.
Amen.
We may pay a price for it. And I can't tell you that if we had a big outbreak that we wouldn't have to change some things. If all of a sudden 12, 15, 20 people started getting it here at church, yeah, we might have to change a few things. Because I would do that for the safety of everybody. I get that. But not until then. Everybody doing okay? I don't think it's right for us to shut the church down for 4, 5, 6 months at a time just in case somebody might get sick. They didn't shut Walmart down. They didn't shut Home Depot down. They didn't shut Lowe's down, which they should have. Slows. They didn't shut the bars down, but you got to shut church down because you're going to kill people. Everybody doing okay?
Amen.
Why is it when they go to contact, find somebody's contacts about who they've been in contact with, the first thing they want to do is shut a church down? How many of them went to Walmart?
Amen.
Let's see if they'll close Walmart down. You see, lepers were banned by law from being touched by anyone, including their families. It was a highly contagious disease, but Jesus touched the leper and healed him. Matter of fact, the Bible talks about Jesus let sick people throng him. In other words, everywhere he went, there were sick people around him. They touched him. They reached out. And we'll see some of these examples. Jesus was helping people. He was not trying to quarantine to keep from others being sick. What if the Savior would have quarantined himself for 3 years instead of preach the gospel? Where would you be today? Jesus stayed in public view healing people. Matter of fact, he healed on the Sabbath. Boy, he got everybody's tail in a twist in that one. He touched sick people. He had so many sick people around him that at one point in time, they cut a hole in a roof and let another sick person down so that he could be healed. Now, when you're in a place where so many people can't get in that they cut a hole in the roof to let somebody else in, people were pretty tight around him. By the way, they got mad at him because he didn't always wash his hands before he ate. He didn't wash the corn. And the disciples, they took their hands and they rubbed the stuff off the corn and wiped their hands and started eating the corn. They said, oh, that's against Hebrew law. Well, when you're hungry enough and you get hangry, who cares what your hands look like? All right, fellas? You can have fish juice dripping off of them, grab a sandwich and eat it, and on you go. Where's one? Man, he had, I'm not sure what was dripping more, his slobber or the fish juice, but he was at one point in time ready to start eating raw fish. You see, Jesus didn't let the rule of law keep him from helping people. No governor can make a law.
Amen.
Hate to disappoint you.
Right.
I was in Maryland. Somebody said, oh, you can't go in there. The governor said. I said, governor can't make a law. And I opened the door and walked in. He said, you shouldn't have done that. I don't give a flip. Don't do it. I did. My wife and I walked into a restaurant a couple, 6-8 weeks ago here in this area. And they said, look, you have to have a mask to go from the door to the table. Once you get to the table, you can take it off. I said, that makes a lot of sense. They said, well, that's what the rule is. I said, you're not going to take me to the table without a mask? They said, no. I said, come on, let's go find a real restaurant. Turned around, walked out. I wasn't mad at them. But what good does it do to walk to your table and then take it off? I was at Home Depot this last week to get something for my wife. Seriously. I was. I was there to get something to fix something she had. Okay, it was for her. And this lady's sitting on the floor doing stuff, and I said, ma'am, I'm looking for such and such. She said, I'm not sure. So she gets up, and of course she's got to have a mask on, but she's got it pulled down to her chin like this. And she went, I said, it's okay with me. Does it look like I care? She said, stupid stuff. They're just trying to turn us into some other country. I said, you're exactly right. I said, you're not going to bother me. My wife and I were in, was it Georgia? We were on our way to Georgia for the Dorsey's situation there. We spent the night on the way down in North Carolina somewhere, and this lady gets on early in the morning. We're getting ready to leave, and it's about 6 in the morning or so. We're coming down the elevator, and this lady gets on, and she goes, oh, I forgot my mask. And the door had already shut. And my wife says, does it look like we care? And she's got her finger over her nose. She said, well, I try to keep the law. I said, it's not a law. She said, well, I try to obey. And she got her finger over her nose. Like, that's really going to stop a lot, all right? It took everything I had not to belly laugh in the elevator for 3 floors. She gets out and runs out down the hallway. My wife looks at me and she goes, that was funny. We were laughing. Folks, we are ridiculously freaked out. Dr. Fauci in March said that a mask will do no good for the control of the coronavirus. A mask only controls big droplets, not the aerosol type droplets that they're worried about. Well, doctors wear them, yes, so that when they're operating on somebody and something squirts in their face, it doesn't go in their mouth. Or so that they don't slobber on somebody while they got a hole in their body. That is the whole purpose of it. Everybody doing all right?
Amen.
Check it out. Find out I'm right. Number 2, Jesus understood humans needed touch for health. Jesus touched people to heal them. Mommy, kiss my boo-boo. They want touched. They want hugged. Dad says, rub dirt on it.
Amen.
That's right. It ain't sticking through the skin. It ain't dripping blood. Get back in there. There is virtue. There's power in touch. Take your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 6, just a couple pages over. Luke chapter 6, look at verse number 19. Notice he's talking about healing people in verses 17. And he came down with them and stood in the plain, and there was a company of his disciples, a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem, from the sea of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their what?
Diseases.
And they were vexed with unclean spirits. In other words, demons and different things. And they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to what?
Touch him.
For there went virtue out of him, and he healed them. How many?
All.
Oh, look at Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, look at verse number 46. And Jesus said, somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. There is power in a touch. Young people, that's why it's dangerous for you to touch somebody of the opposite gender when you're not married to them, because there's power in it. Everybody doing okay? Doctors and nurses are taught at medical school the importance of touching somebody in healing. That's why many examinations prior to this stupid time of things that a doctor would touch. They're feeling glands. They're touching. They're trying to find out where the pain is. You know, does it hurt right there? Yeah, okay, don't touch it. You've been there. But there is human-to-human contact. There is a healing power to it. Now, listen to me very carefully. People are freaked out today because now doctors come to a doctor's visit and they're gowned up from head to toe. They have a mask on. They have a clear shield on. And we're talking to you like this, and you can understand what we're seeing. And you look at them like they just came out of a contamination room, or you're the contaminated one. And we wonder why people are all panicked right now. Went to the doctor with Miss Wally the other day. And when the doctor came in, I had to wear a mask to get in. But as soon as I was in, down it went. And the doctor didn't like it, but I didn't give a rip. I was waiting for the doctor to say something. And I was going to throw her education right down her throat. She knew me well enough. She didn't challenge me. But may I say this? There used to be teaching in medical school for doctors and especially nurses, the power of touching a human being for healing. We are minus that today. May I say this? You have to sit in a room with a mask on, talking to somebody that's in full bio gear, like you have leprosy, just for a checkup. Do you have the virus? They go through this list of things. I told them, I didn't ask them, I told them I was going in with Wally. Well, you have to answer questions. I said, bring me your stupid questions. You know, have you traveled out of the country? Do you have a cough? Do you have a fever? Do you have this? And they said, are you fatigued? I said, does working a lot of hours mean fatigue? No, I said, then I'm okay. I thought, yeah, I'm tired. I work a lot of hours. I'm not fatigued from being sick. I'm thinking, you know, you got to be careful how you answer a question. Okay, I slept 2 hours yesterday, slept about 2.5 hours last night. Yeah, I'm a little tired. Does that mean I've got COVID? No. It means I played too much. Went fishing too long. Amen? You see, people are freaked out today because now the doctors are all weirding out you and weirding everybody else out. And, well, you have to wait in your car. We'll come get you. It's so bad that you got to use a computer or your phone and do a virtual appointment because somebody might get sick. Now people are fearful because there is no human touch or interaction. Take your Bible, turn to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, look at verse number 56. The Bible says, "And whithersoever he entered into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch, if it were, the border of his garment, and as many as touched him were made whole." Folks, just touching the skirt or the hem of his garment healed them. There was healing power in the touch. Look at Mark chapter 7, verse number 33. "And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears and spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were open, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain." He used his own spit. Apparently he didn't have a mask on. He put his fingers in his ear, spit on the man's, and put spit on his tongue. And he got his hearing back and got his ability to speak back. Jesus used touch to do so. Say, boy, that's very unorthodox. Well, it worked. I'm not going to let you do it to me. Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Look at verse number 51. Luke chapter 22, look at verse number 51. Look at verse 50. "And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear." That was Peter. "And Jesus answered and said, Suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear and healed him." There's a guy who got his ear whacked off. Jesus reached down and put it back up and touched his ear and put it on the side of his head, and it was put back together like it had never been cut off. There is power in touch. If you get a bad cut and they put stitches in it, when they take the stitches out, you ought to rub that every day. It'll keep it from scarring as much. Well, you got to put oil on it. You can put all the oil on it that you want, but the oil doesn't fix it. It's the rubbing of it to get the blood back to it. They tell you to put oil on it because that's the only way you'd rub it. Everybody doing okay? I know what I'm talking about here. We could look at Mark 8, 22, Mark chapter 8, verse number 3. We're not going to. But may I say this? I believe not allowing visitors in hospitals is causing people to be sicker longer and many to die. I talked to Heather Stansberry after she had her baby, and the baby almost died and she almost died. My wife was sitting right beside me in their living room. She said, "Preacher," she said, "my family couldn't come see me." She said, "all I wanted was to see my preacher's face." That's what she told us. She said, "I needed my preacher, and I knew you couldn't get there." She said, "I'm a nurse. I run this same floor that I was on." She said, "sitting there and the nurses coming in, all gowned up, all gloved up, and just barely in the room long enough to find out what was needed and give her what she needed and walk out." She said, "I found out how bad the care is when you're not allowed to fellowship and touch a patient." She said, "it goes against everything I was taught as a nurse." And I said, "and you wonder why you got depressed a little bit." I can't prove it, but I kind of think potentially Sarah Dorsey may have lived had she had a chance to see her family. But for 2 weeks, the family wasn't even allowed to be in the room with her. Not until she was virtually brain dead did they let anybody in to see her. Who knows what happened? the loneliness. She was texting back and forth with family on Monday night, and by Tuesday her heart stopped for 20 to 30 minutes. I'm not blaming doctors right now. I'm just telling you, America is nuts. I told Josh and Lisa when they had the baby, I said, I know I can't come visit you. I'm sorry. It breaks my heart. Now, I don't go the day somebody has a baby. By the way, don't go the very day somebody has a baby. Wait 24 hours. After you've had one of them puppies, the last thing you want to do is see somebody other than the baby or your husband. Give them time to heal up a little bit. She didn't want to see him. What was that? Yeah, she didn't want to see you for sure. I'm going to keep my mouth shut on that one. I will get in trouble for that one if I say it. Mm-hmm. But can I tell you something? My wife and I, our rule has been for all these years, I don't go the day of. I'll wait 24 hours or so and go see the new baby and mama and daddy at the hospital. Not because I don't care, but we've had three. We really didn't want visitors right away. The last one we had was a block and a half from the church. We had people in the LDR waiting to come see us. And it's like, okay, folks, back off a little bit, all right? Just give us time to get through this thing. And, you know, 10 minutes after the baby was born, they're banging on doors to get in. Just give us some time here, you know? Allow people to have a little bit of space. And I'm not mad at people, but it's just a good rule of thumb. Give them a little bit of time. I talked to both of them, and I said, I'm sorry. I said, I know I can't come. I said, if you think I can get in, I'll be there. I said, but if I go, then Josh can't go. And they said, and Lisa said, Preacher, they're not even letting him in. And Josh said, I got to leave. I got to be with her when she had it, but I got to leave now. And to me, that's criminal. People are sicker longer. Did you know when Henry Ford was alive, when his employees got sick enough to go to the hospital, he would have work taken to the hospital for them. And he did a study that his employees healed faster in the hospital than regular patients. Because he would take work there, he gave them value, and they would heal quicker because they knew they were needed somewhere. And he said, I don't need the work done. My employees need to feel valuable. They will heal faster. They would put parts together while they were laying in the bed at the hospital. And they said, look, I got to get better faster. My company needs me. I've got to get back to work. And they would heal faster because they had a sense of purpose. Boy, that's good stuff. Number three, Jesus didn't believe he endangered people by healing them. He was doing good. He didn't believe he was endangering somebody by talking to them and speaking to them to heal them, or by touching them, or by spitting on the ground and putting some mud in their eyes to heal them, or putting his fingers in their ears or putting his hands on them. He didn't care that he was spreading a disease. He was doing good. Acts chapter 10, verse number 38 talks about, and he went about doing good. Can I tell you something? America needs people about doing good, not freaked out with masks. Amen. I walked into Sheets this morning to about 5 o'clock, you know, everywhere you go, hey, wear a mask, you know, da da da. I don't wear a mask. There was a couple in there, and they were just looking at me. Of course, she's wearing pajamas, and she's looking at me. And they were just looking at me. So I said, good morning, how are you? Fine. I grabbed what I was getting, came back towards to pay, and they said, what are you all dressed up for at this hour? I said, I'm going to work. They said, "Where do you work?" I said, "I'm a Baptist preacher, and I work about a half mile down the road." I said, I reached in my pocket and handed him a gospel tract. I said, "You ought to come sometime today." "Oh, do people at your church wear masks?" I said, "If they want to, but I haven't found any yet." "Oh, then we couldn't come." I said, "Okay." The guy behind the counter, he's getting ready to pay. He said, "Pastor, you doing all right?" I said, "Man, I'm doing great. How about you?" He said, "I'd be doing better if I was like you and took this stupid mask off." He said, "But I'm being watched. I'd get fired." I said, "I'd find me a new job." He said, "You're a better man than I. I wouldn't put up with that." Now, you know I love Miss Wally if I wear one at the doctor's office with her. Your responsibility in life is not to protect somebody else from getting sick. That is a lie of liberalism. Jesus didn't spread the virus. He healed people with his touch and with his message. You cannot prevent a virus. I'm going to make a statement here. When they get a vaccine for the common cold that works, then we'll talk about a coronavirus vaccine. In all these years, they haven't been able to take care of the cold virus. What makes you think they're going to be able to do this? They've already said it's going to be 40 to 50% effective. Your flu vaccine is about 40 to 50% effective. When your flu vaccine doesn't work and you get the flu, they say, "Well, it doesn't cover all strains. You just don't get it as severe." In other words, they lost. But you got it anyway. You cannot prevent a virus. The best way to prevent viruses from affecting you as bad is what they call herd immunity. God put something in your body to be able to build up resistance to it. Now, if your system is compromised, I understand being cautious. I'm not saying that everybody ought to be as wild and crazy as I am. I think there's a time and a place. Somebody's got sickness, somebody's got respiratory issues. I get it. But may I say this? You do that with the flu too. So what's the difference? More people die of the flu every year than this. I said that from day one. Did you know the death rate has not changed, including all the escalation of the death rate since day one? 0.3%. 0.3%. 0.3%. And it's amazing if you would get real numbers of actual people who died of COVID versus died with it or with the antibodies to it. They listed Sarah's as a COVID death. She had had COVID 4 or 5 weeks before she had her surgery. She had the immunity to it. She was already healed from it. But she was listed as a COVID death. That's criminal. That's making people live in fear. God told us that good hygiene prevents a lot of sickness. Doesn't it make sense? You wash your hands? You know, when you shake hands and do things like I do, you wash your hands a lot. I have a habit that I go through in the hospital. When I walk into the hospital, I hit the sanitizer. I go visit somebody. As soon as I leave the room, I hit the sanitizer. When I get back to the office, I wash my hands. I say, "Preacher, you're rarely very sick." That's why. But it's also because I'm around a lot of sick people. And my body builds up resistances to it. Wash your hands. Wash your body. Cleaning the house. People that have a clean house are sick less than those that don't have a clean house. Wash your clothes. Okay? Wash your clothes. Just, you're going to put that back on, or you're going to see if it's clean, and you just breathed in bad germs. Being moral will keep you healthy. Amen. That's the kindest way I know how to say that. Morality has a way of keeping people clean. You know, you ought not be drinking out of everybody else's stuff. Yeah. Well, it's just, yeah, it's just. You know, if it's not yours, just leave it alone. Sin causes sickness. Because we're sinners, we're going to get sick, and one day you're going to die. I can't say it any other way. And by the way, who are we to decide when somebody is old enough to die? Amen. We were conceived in sin. So to the lost, this is their only life. So this is the life that they put the most importance on. To those of us who are saved, what in the world are we afraid of? Is heaven really that bad? I'd rather get sick and die and go to heaven, having gone about doing good, preaching truth, trying to get people saved, than sit in a house doing nothing, letting people die and go to hell. That's the decision I made. So, let's not live in fear. Let's not believe the media. The CDC and the WHO are not for America. They're for communism and especially the Chinese communists. Socialism, dictatorship, tyranny, and communism all use fear to get people to follow them. I could show you prophetically from the scriptures where communist China is the great army from the east that marches without number. And they are influencing everybody with fear by using the WHO and the CDC. The CDC is mad at President Trump because he was only in the hospital 2 days. And he jumps off of Marine One. Nothing to fear. I whipped it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Again. Vote these idiots out.
Amen.
We cannot allow a virus to stop us from doing good and getting the gospel out like Jesus did. I'm not saying live stupid. I'm not saying be foolish. I'm not saying if somebody you know has it that you're just going to go visit them anyway. Okay, be a little smart. Everybody doing okay? Yeah, I know a family in our church that's had it, but they weren't in church for 3 weeks before they got it. And they're staying out till they test negative. Okay, but I also haven't gone to visit them. I talk to them every day. But I haven't gone to visit them because I don't want to get it either. But if they had the flu, I wouldn't do it either. Or pneumonia. You know, just because somebody throws up doesn't mean you reach down, pick it up, and eat it. And say, oh, I'm not going to get sick. Okay, I'm going to get sick watching you do it, all right? Say, well, I won't get the flu. Stupid, stupid, stupid. Okay, then why would we put ourselves in harm's way of something else? Use some sense, people. Say, preacher, you're gross, okay? But you got the point real good. Preacher, are you afraid? Can you tell? Not at all. I'm no more afraid of it than I am the flu. I'm afraid of a kidney stone more than that. Trust me. I'm more afraid of God than I am a virus. I'm more afraid of disappointing God and disobeying God than I am, well, you got to keep everybody else well. Show me where that was ever part of our life. You are believing the lie of a liberal media and a liberal government. A message for our country today. Jesus touched people that were sick. He didn't social distance. He didn't wear a mask. He didn't quit touching people. He touched them more and healed them. There is healing power in touch. Can I tell you something? Let's be wise, but let's vote accordingly. Let's live accordingly. We don't have to be like the Koreans in the Southeast Asian communist countries to where everybody walks around with a mask all the time because the government makes them do it. When they started coming out, they said, we need compliance. Did you ever notice how fast the social distancing lines were all uniform within a week of the announcement that we were supposed to stay 6 feet apart? That was pre-planned. Those were pre-printed somewhere. You don't have to live in fear. I've had people come to our church and won't come back because you sit too close. People aren't wearing masks. And I just don't feel comfortable. And I said, well, you can sit in the corner by yourself if you like and wear your mask. I said, nobody's going to say anything negative. I said, we don't care. Well, I just don't feel comfortable. Tell me in the Bible where you're supposed to feel comfortable. I didn't feel comfortable on a boat after about 8 hours of going, not sitting down all day and not catching a whole lot for a while. But did it anyway because it was fun. I didn't say it was comfortable, but it was fun. Wasn't real comfortable at IHOP yesterday evening, amen? Poor Steve couldn't get a peach milkshake to save his life. Brother Juan was about to go through withdrawal because he was the last one to get food. We're ready to walk out to the trucks and he's like, I ain't got my food yet. Come on, preacher. Can tell you something, comfortability doesn't have anything to do with it. How about we just do good and follow Jesus' example? That is a message from Scripture about what's happening today. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We don't have to live in fear. We don't. I'm not talking about live foolishly, but we don't have to live in fear. You don't have to fear what's going to happen. People are going to get sick. They were getting sick before there was such a virus. By the way, did you know that the Chinese government flooded out Wuhan, China, and all the people in that town are dead, and all of the evidence has been wiped away? 140,000 people died, and they wiped the city out with a flood so that nothing can be investigated. Huh. I wonder how that happened.